رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، الحمد لله. Tonight is the 19th of September in the year 2017. Alhamdulillah, we're beginning the 19th week, the 127th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu. And I've started the section now, in which I promised that we would, inshallah, go through a few of his blessed words of wisdom. And the last thing I mentioned was the narration from our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he feared for us something more than even drought and famine. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I fear something more terrifying for you, namely when the riches of this world are poured profusely upon you. So it was on this very account that Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu feared for the Muslims when the tremendous spoils of war were now entering the Bayt al-Mal. For instance, in Bayhaqi, volume 6, page 358, Bazar Sa'id ibn Mansur, Humaydi ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 207, Kanzul Umal, volume 2, page 320, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 10, page 242, states Sahih. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 258-9 of the English translation. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he relates, after leading the salah, Umar radiallahu anhu, he would remain seated for a while so that a person with any need may speak to him. So stopping the report, this was his blessed example. He'd wait so people at the appropriate time would come and see him after the fard. Only then he would stand up when there was no one left with a need. So if anybody had a need, he would fulfill it. And then nobody, he would then get up. However, it once occurred that he had led several prayers without sitting afterwards. I thereupon said to his servant, O Yarfa, rahmatullah alayh, has the Amir al-Mu'mineen fallen ill? So note how Abdullah ibn Abbas knew him. He goes, he's not doing what he normally does. He's praying the farad, he's doing it dhikr, he's going. He's not sitting. And I've noticed that he hasn't done this for a few of the obligatory prayers. So he asked his servant, has he fallen ill? His servant said, no. So Ibn Abbas said, I thereupon sat down and Uthman ibn Affan joined me, radiyallahu. After a while, his servant Yarfa returned and he said to us both, come with us, O son of Abbas and son of Affan, i.e. Amir al-Mu'mineen wants to speak to you. When we entered the dwelling, we found before Umar radiallahu anhu several heaps of money with a shoulder blade on each heap, i.e. which was used as paper in those auspicious days. So simply put, they entered the dwelling and Umar's got two pieces, you know, pots of money, for want of a better word, and he was secured. He thereupon said, looking through all the people of Al-Madinah, I found that the two of you have the largest families. Therefore, take this money and distribute it. You should then bring back what is left over. So Umar radiallahu anhu told Abdullah ibn Abbas, you're from the Banu Hashim. And Uthman, you're from Banu Umayyah. You've got the largest tribes. So take this money, distribute it. Whilst Uthman radiallahu anhu took as much as he could, I knelt down and I asked, will you give us more if it is less, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He replied, indeed a chip of the old block. I, just like your noble father, was all of this not with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were eating scraps of leather. Let us explain this. So Uthman obviously took whatever he could and he's about to go with the wealth to give it to the poor and need. Ibn Abbas, he goes, what if this isn't enough? Now what did Umar mean when he said to Ibn Abbas, a chip of the old block? Because Abdullah ibn Abbas's father was the uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas. And he was very fond of wadh. You know, there's a report where he was actually doing this in Sahih Bukhari. He was collecting wealth and he put it in every single pocket, on his shoulders, on his head. And then he goes, Ya Rasulullah, will you help me take more? And the Prophet just remained silent, meaning no. And then he's looking around, trying to find a way to collect more of the wealth. And he goes, Oh Messenger of Allah, will you help me? And the Prophet remained silent. And then a third time, he walked away. And the Prophet was looking in amazement at his uncle. In other words, look how fond he is of wealth. So that's the father. So when he said to his son, take, give it to your family, to the poor, the destitute. He goes, what if there isn't enough? And he goes, chip off the old block. In other words, just like your father. But then he said something about the wealth. He goes, was all this not with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the messenger of Allah and his companions were eating scraps of leather? Now what did he mean by that? This wealth that was now with them. In the time of the Prophet, where was this wealth? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was with the Persians, with the Romans. So Umar asked him, because this wealth, who was it with in the time of the Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, it was with the unbelievers. So Ibn Abbas, he replied, certainly, it was all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whilst Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with us. However, if these conquests had taken place at his blessed hands, he would not have done as you are now doing. So Ibn Abbas actually told him, he goes, there's nothing to fear from this wealth of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, Alhamdulillah, during your reign, Islam has spread, and we've got the wealth. He goes, if it happened during his time, he'd be doing the same. But he wouldn't do what you're doing, meaning, thinking too much about this. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he got angry at this remark. And then he said to Ibn Abbas, what then would he have done? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I replied, he would have eaten from it and fed us as well. Meaning he wouldn't be so afraid of this wealth. He'd take from it himself, he'd eat and he'd give others. So Umar radiallahu anhu, upon hearing this, he burst into tears until his ribs started heaving. Now why did he burst into tears? Because he was so fearful. Because he didn't know what to do. Because this wealth wasn't with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It wasn't with Abu Bakr. Now it's with me and I don't know what to do. Because this is a fitna. And he weeping and weeping, his blessed ribs are heaving. He thereupon said, oh, how I wish that I could escape from this khilafah with a clean sheet, nothing in my favor and nothing against. In other words, this is my lot. He goes, if anybody else was the Khalif, it would be on his head. It's on mine. And he goes, this is a bird that I've got to carry and I wish I could find a way out from this. In other words, I don't want any reward and I don't want to be accounted for this. So now look at the whole report. What striking trait do you see from Amir al-Mu'mineen? He feared wealth. Look how strange that is to us. Somebody goes, what do you fear, brother? I fear jinn. What do you fear, brother? I fear the dog. What do you fear? I fear my missus. He goes, which one says this? I fear my bank account. Then you think, oh brother, have you got enough? He goes, no, I didn't mean it like that. What I mean is, I've got too much. And I'm in deep trouble. Now be honest, if a person did say that sincerely, you'd think he's joking. Why? Because what did the Prophet ﷺ say? What the fitna which I fear for my ummah the most after me is wealth. This is in Tirmidhi. In another hadith authentic, the Prophet ﷺ said, a time is coming when they won't be bothered how they accumulate the wealth, whether it's the haram or the halal. And what's strange about that? Look how common that is now. You get people, five-time namazis, buying lottery tickets. Think about that, isn't it? What are you doing? Well, no, I just want to, if I win, I'll give it to Mujahideen. It's haram. You don't go and rob a bank and say, I'm going to go and give it to Mujahideen. So note, this is very strange, and this is the fitna. And this is what Umar was fearing. Now let me ask you a question. Did he need to fear? This mighty man, did he need to fear this? No. We need to fear it. And yeah, we don't think it's anything to fear. In fact, we're running and loving and embracing it. In another report, it mentions, in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 218, Ibn Rahway, Shashi, Abu Ubaid Qanzul Ubal, volume 2, page 317. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 2560 of the New English Translation. His illustrious son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he relates, radiallahu anhu. My father, Umar radiallahu anhu, once called me. When I arrived, I found a leather tablecloth on the floor in front of him, on which there was gold spread out. So picture the scene. Abdullah ibn Umar enters his father's dwelling. There's a darstakhan on the floor, leather mat, normally used to eat. You put your food on, but he's got gold on it. He thereupon said, O my son, distribute this amongst your people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best why he kept this away from his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. It has come to me. Is it good that I have now been given, or is it evil? He then burst into tears. He thereupon said, not at all. I swear by the being who controls my life, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was not for any evil reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept it away from his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from Abu Bakr, radiallahu, and then gave it to me for some good reason. I, it is evident that this is now a tribulation for me. Subhanallah. Now let me ask you a question. Imagine somebody says this to you. What would Umar radiallahu anhu burst into tears over? Which one would immediately think, well, previous report, he's weeping so much, his ribs are heaving. That's not normal weeping. Basically, he's sobbing his heart out, radiallahu anhu. Now he's doing it again. Then what did he say? First, he asked his son the question. He said, Allah Ta'ala didn't give this to his beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't give it to Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu. It's come to me. Is it good or evil? So that was the first question. Before he could even answer, he burst into tears. And he said, I swear to God, there's something wrong with this, because it's come to me. Allah Ta'ala has kept it away from his beloved, kept it away from the one who's most beloved after him. He's given it to me. And he goes, this now is a test for me. Now go back a few months. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he appointed Umar for the Khilafah. What was one of the major reasons he did this? For this very reason. Abu Bakr knew the world is opening up. The floodgates of wealth are going to be pouring in. So he was thinking, who is the best man to be at the head of affairs when the world opens up? Could there be a better man? Now you see the reality of it. The other Sahaba weren't weeping. Think about that. They all had deep, profound knowledge that we could already, you know, dream about. None of them were weeping. Only one man was weeping. Think about that. Was Uthman weeping? Was Abdullah ibn Abbas weeping? Think about that. Only Umar was weeping. He could see something. And that is why he was appointed the Khalif after Abu Bakr, radiallahu. In another touching report, Abdul Rahman ibn Yawf, he relates, radiallahu. In Abu Ubaid Adani, Qanzul Umal, volume 2, page 218, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 260 of the New English Translation. So one of the Ten Promised Paradise, Abdul Rahman ibn Yawf, he said, radiallahu, Umar radiallahu once called me. When I got to the entrance of his dwelling, I heard him weeping aloud. I thereupon fell into great anxiety, and I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A calamity must have struck the Amir al-Mu'mineen. I then quickly, after permission, entered the room, and I held Umar radiallahu anhu's shoulders, and I said, there is no need to grieve. There is no need to grieve. To which he remarked, rather there is now every need to grieve. He then took my hand. He led me through another door. Laying there were several bags stacked one above the other. He thereupon said, the family of Al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala now has no worth in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? For if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, he could have given this to my two predecessors, and I could have easily followed their practice in this regard. I thereupon consoled him and I said, sit down with us, I, the senior companions, and we shall discuss the matter. You don't need to worry, Amir al-Mu'min. We then determined that the Messenger of Allah's wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu ta'ala an, should receive 4,000 annually each, whilst everyone else received 2,000. Eventually, all the money was distributed. So, why am I mentioning these reports? He's burst into tears again. Over the thing that we will kill our family over. Think about that. People have shot their family for what? Land. Property. And this is the, you know, the ideal state to be in with regards to wealth and property. Fearing it. Not fearing, you know, how to grab it unlawfully. Oh, lawfully for that matter. You know, subhanAllah. So what's happened? He's grieving. He goes, there is now every need to grieve. What am I supposed to do with this? And look what he said. Another huge lesson. I haven't got guidance. Look how much Sayyidina Umar feared not having a precedent. And we just jump straight in. Brother, I don't really know, but let's go for it. Think about that. I don't really know. I don't know what it says in Quran or Sunnah, brother. But my heart's telling me to do this. And look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. He goes, what am I supposed to do? Where's the guidance? And he's Khilaf al-Rashidin, imagine. And then Abdul Rahman, look how touching. He held his shoulders. He goes, we will discuss. And they came to the conclusion, this wealth can be given as an honor to the earliest people, those who deserve it. And the mothers of the believers were mentioned first, and of course the rest of the companions. In another report it mentions, in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Bayhaqi Abdul Razak ibn Abi Shayba, Kanzul Umal, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 293 of the Old English translation, he made a dua, Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu. He said, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know full well, I am fully aware that your messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved that he got wealth from somewhere and then spent it on your path and servants. But you kept him safe by your grace. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also loved that he got wealth from somewhere. And he also spent it in your path and on your servants. But you also kept him away from it, as you were also kind to him. Now, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I seek refuge in you from this, i.e. the abundance wealth that has arrived, lest it should be a testing for me. He then recited the following verse. Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah 23, verse 55 and 56. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ بَلْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they think that because we granted them an abundance of wealth and sons, we are quickening for them in every good? Nay, they do not understand. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this touching report. So this is an authentic report in Imam Ahmad's Musnad and Bayhaqi. He's making a dua. And why is he making an open dua? Because he's teaching us. You make private duas, but he's doing this openly for this, so we can learn. And what he simply said was, you protected your beloved because he was beloved to you. You kept him safe by your grace. You kept Abu Bakr safe because you was kind to him. Now, he goes, I seek refuge in you from the fitna. Then he recited this verse. This is a tafsir from Sayyidina Umar. And look how ironic. The two things which the kuffar consider to be status, and the ignorant Muslims consider to be status. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call both those things? He says, أَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّمَا نُمِدُّهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Do they think that because we gave them an abundance of wealth and sons, نُصَارِعُ لَهُمْ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ, we are hastening for them every good? بَلَّا يَشْعُرُونَ. No, they don't understand. So what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling you? Because I've given you abundant wealth and children to destroy you. That's the meaning of the passage. Now you said to a person, when you even ask these questions, how quickly do people ask this? So what are you doing nowadays, brother? Really? How much are you earning? Brother, I'm £12,000 a year. And straight away, status is like a status now for them. Oh yeah, he's in the bottom rank. He's like, you know, amongst the the law. And he says, oh, you married, brother? Yeah, alhamdulillah. How many kids have you got? And he goes, yeah, I'll be blessed with, you know, sons or daughters. Another jahiliyyah thing. He goes, yeah, I've just got daughters. Then he goes, oh, he's come to earth. He's a loser. Do you read the Quran? Think about that, innit? Are you Muslim? First brother, of course I'm Muslim. What does it say in the Quran? Where is this these verses from? We got interesting. Surah Mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala put this knowledge in the chapter where he said the believers. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, don't be fooled. When this wealth is pouring in, does it mean anything? In fact, it actually could mean Allah Ta'ala is destroying you. When you're blessed with children, alhamdulillah, we do, you know, we do shukr. But in your heart, you're thinking, astaghfirullah, this might be destruction for me. And that's why in Surah Al-Kahf, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, beautified things of the world, i.e. women and wealth, is for, because these are the things that people aspire for. But then what does he say? وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ The everlasting deeds are more enduring. What's Baqiyatu Salihat? Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Hasan Hadith, is the third kalima. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Now think about that. If somebody goes to you, three options, what's more valuable to you? Blank check, 10 sons, third kalima. He goes, there's trick questions, right? He goes, well, you can consider it how you wish. He goes, okay, then third kalima. Yeah, because, you know, it's a trick question. Why? Quran's telling you that. He goes, these are the things that will endure. But this is only with regards to the person whose wealth, he doesn't know how to deal with his wealth. His children are a fitna for him. He hasn't brought them up, let's say, in a good manner. Then there's a serious problem. So note Sayyidina Umar, look how much, how fear he had for this. SubhanAllah. Adding details, in Ahmad in Az-Zuhd, Bayhaqi, volume 6, page 358, Abdul Razak ibn Abi Shaybah ibn Asakir ibn al-Mubarak in Az-Zuhd, Kanzul Umal, volume 2, page 321, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 256 of the New English Translation, Ibrahim ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, rahmatullah alayhi relates, when the treasures of Kisra, the Persian emperor, were brought to Sayyidina Umar, Abdullah ibn Arkam Zuhri radiyallahu anhu asked, shall we deposit this Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Bayt al-Mal? Because we've got so much wealth, alhamdulillah. Shall we put it into the Bayt al-Mal? Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, we shall not deposit it into the Bayt al-Mal until we've distributed every dirham. He then burst into tears. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu thereupon asked in surprise, Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you weeping? Is not today a day of gratitude and joy? I don't understand. Why are you weeping? Sayyidina Umar replied, radiyallahu, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this, i.e. abundant wealth to a nation, he then quickly casts enmity and hatred between them. Because this is what disunites nations. Disunites, you know, whether they're Muslims or non-Muslims. Look how interesting. The poor stick together. Fascinating. If you look at the world over, go back, you know, even into our own parts of the world, when they were living more poorer, austere lives, one unit. Soon as the money goes back, what happens? Kalashnikov comes out. Year ago, you were hooking and kissing him. Now you got Kalashnikov. What's happened? Oh, his land, brother, his land and money, what it is, you know, I don't trust him. Well, there you go. Say the normal goes, and you're celebrating over this. Imagine. And what did that sahaba say? Did he say anything wrong? He goes, Amir al-Mu'min put it in Bayt al-Mal. But what he didn't realize by saying that was, he goes, the wealth is going to be stagnant. And Umar goes, no, never. It's never going to be stagnant. Get rid of it. And then he said to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, Allah destroys through this. And that's why again and again, history and ourselves clearly bears witness to this foresight of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu. Those, it was not poverty which our beloved messenger feared for us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather wealth and its abundance. What then of the one who is in blissful ignorance and his sole aim in life is to climb the social ladder. Imagine, are you low class, middle class, or upper class? I'm not a stump. First class, second stump. These are just statements, but you're actually encouraging this. Allah not bother where you live. Not bother what car you drive. Not bother what clothes you wear. It's taqwa. But this is the tragedy. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in a sahih hadith in Abu Dawud, he goes, there's a verse in the Quran that people have already stopped acting upon. So the people were shocked. He goes, oh cousin of the Prophet, which verse? And he recited the verse in Surah Hujarat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the most noblest of you are those with the most taqwa. The noblest of you in my sight are those with the most taqwa. Because they've left it. And in a sahih hadith in Nasa'i, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this illness won't be eradicated. Because people will always, i.e. ignorantly, turn to wealth as a sign of status. People will turn to wealth as a sign of status. Think about that. If you look at our beloved messenger, was he bothered about wealth? Was he bothered about when a person came that this is a millionaire or a billionaire, or whether he's a pauper? And yeah, it's a huge thing. Why? Because we've been indoctrinated with this. What did I mention yesterday? Greed is good. No, it's not good. Stop watching those films. Greed is not good. Greed is poverty, Sayyidina Umar said, radiyallahu. And look at how beautiful. That's his speech. All of this is his speech. But we've discussed his zuhd. So he wasn't just talking the talk. You know, he was walking the walk as well as they say. You know, he wasn't just saying it. He goes, look at the Amir, how he's living his life. The greatest man on the earth, the most powerful man on the earth. How did he enter Jerusalem? Think about that. Look at all these amazing things the people observed about him. And the Sahaba goes, this is how he overtook us. That was his secret. Allah Ta'ala loves that in his servants. And he makes you leapfrog over other great servants who haven't understood this. So this is again something to seriously reflect upon. And of course, to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. So this is not to depress you, but this is just to highlight what Sayyidina Umar was fearing for this ummah. And at the same time, we should be aware of this. Right? Wealth is a fitna. Then you get people making statements and they correct when what they say. Our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Sahih Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves a generous rich man. So then he goes, look, that's me. He goes, yeah, you're one of the two. He goes, what do you mean one of the two? You're rich. I don't know about generous. He goes, no brother, what are you saying? I'm generous. So what's generosity to you? Zakat. That's farad. I'm £5 in double every week. Generous rich man. How many generous rich men do you know? Therefore it's a fitna. But at the same time, Allah Ta'ala has given you great and valuable gifts. Let me mention one hadith to finish. This hadith, I think it's in Sahih Muslim, but it's definitely a Sahih hadith in the Sunnah. So the poor Sahaba came. The poor Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our rich brothers and sisters have overtaken us. He goes, we can't compete with, we can do jihad, we can do, but when it comes to sadaqah and giving in the path of Allah, he goes, they've overtaken us. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I teach you something? That if you do this, you will overtake them. So all the poor Sahaba goes, of course, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, after every fard salah, say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 or 34 times, one report says. And in another report, it says you add the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku alhamdu wa la kulli shay'in qadir. So then the Sahaba started doing it. But then somebody let the car at the back. The rich Sahaba caught on. And they were doing zikr after like this as well. So then the poor Sahaba then came again. He goes, Ya Rasulullah. He goes, they're doing that as well. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whoever he pleases. So let's look at this. What could those people do with that wealth? These are Sahaba. They were giving it in jihad. They were giving it fi sabilillah. They were looking after the orphans, destitute, widows. They were like me and you. That dhikr overtakes that. Think about that. When you ask a person, brother, you know the dhikr that you're doing after Farad Salat? What's the virtue? all your sins are forgiven. He goes, I'm sure it is, but which one of us would say, oh, it actually leapfrogs you over the wealthy who are not doing this? Look how interesting. The Prophet saw in the mindset, he goes, look, Allah Ta'ala gives you gifts, you've got to find them. Right? Of course, in another report, it goes, your sins are also forgiven. Another thing, so there's no contradiction. So again, note, Allah Ta'ala has given, and alhamdulillah, by His grace. And look how interesting. Some people do it, some people don't. Why? Because some people are graced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, others people are. As soon as they finish the fard, they're out. You see him running out, what are you running to, brother? You don't know how busy I am, brother. Imagine. MashaAllah, I just mentioned this. One brother who's taxiing, he did his maghrib and he's running out. I said, brother, where are you going? He said, customer's in car. MashaAllah. He actually told his customer, he said, I'm just going to, probably pardon me, went into masjid, prayed and ran back out. I thought, what about zikr and that? Well, MashaAllah, at least he prayed. That's a good thing. So all I discussed was basically the aspect of Sayyidina Umar in which he greatly feared abundance of wealth and something for us to take very seriously in our short lives. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي الحمد لله اللهم بحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وتب الله من الشيطان سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم
ما شاء الله